rough and tumble sailors that are also on the ship, they're scared out of their minds. We see that every one of these salty dogs, as it were, cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. The picture here is one of complete and total desperation. The men who are scrambling for their lives are not white-collar workers on some pleasure cruise that has gone terribly wrong. These are tried and true mariners. They've been through it all, they've seen it all, and these guys are utterly brought to the ends of themselves by this mighty act of God. And we see this because they start chucking their cargo overboard. They are scared well beyond the prospect of getting paid or even worrying about having to pay for the goods lost on this particular voyage. These guys are purely in survival mode, and they're doing everything that they can just to see tomorrow. But where do we see God's prophet in all of this? We continue reading. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. Jonah has run away, not because he was insensible concerning what was taking place, but because he knew that he was a fugitive from the presence of God. Jonah checks out in order to escape what's being required of him. This is the disobedience of God's fleeing prophet. And we can relate, can't we? We sometimes find ourselves here. We know that we are faltering in one particular area, and we just decide to occupy our time with this or that, or just sleep it off in an effort to escape having to deal with it. But God doesn't allow Jonah to stay in this condition very long, as we see in verse 6. The captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." So here we have a pagan captain coming to God's prophet to tell him to pray for the sake of these people. Not only is Jonah not praying for the Ninevites to be saved, but he is also leaving these sailors to pray to false gods. Now this captain, however, he's in his desperate estate. He rebukes Jonah to get up and pray to the one true God in order that these guys might be spared. And as we continue, we see God providentially work things out in verses 7 and 8, where we read, "And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. They said to him, 'Tell us, on whose account this evil has come upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?'" As Calvin says concerning this verse, "When a calamity happens, it is the duty of everyone to examine himself and his whole life before God. Then everyone, from the first to the last, must confess that he bears a just judgment." And that's exactly what we see happening here. These sailors are ferociously looking for some way to salvation, and so they cast lots, which points to Jonah. So the rapid fire questioning starts. You know, why is this happening? What do you do for a living? Where are you from? What people do you belong to? And after the lot fell on Jonah, these guys knew that he was guilty. And Jonah knew it too. And Jonah tells them as much. He says, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." He tells them, "Yeah, I'm one of God's chosen people who have been given his law. I know and worship the one true God, the one who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, the one who is in control of this very storm and this very sea." Jonah is rightly accused, and he comes clean. Brothers and sisters, why is it so often the case that we too wait until our lives are a mess before we come clean before our Heavenly Father? Just as in Jonah's day, God knows all and he's sovereign as all. So why do we wait? Why do we hide? Why do we not seek to repent from that particular besetting sin? God sees all of it. While you may be fooling some of those around you for a while, God knows what websites you're visiting. God knows what substances you're putting into your body. And God knows who or what you're placing your trust in. Jonah couldn't run from God, and we can't either. This brings us to our final point. this morning, a salvation restored. Salvation restored. At this news we read, "Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'What is this that you have done?' For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us?' For the sea grew more and more tempestuous." So now that Jonah has come clean about who he is and whom he serves, these men are scared. They're petrified. And again, pagans rebuke God's prophet and ask him for answers. After all, this horrible tempest is only getting worse, and Jonah has shared with them that he is the direct cause of this happening. And so Jonah, not necessarily now in a state of repentance, says to them in verse 12, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Jonah knows his guilt, and he knows what the just thing to do is. He must be thrown off the boat for the sake of these sailors. And he accepts his fate for trying to flee and for disobeying Almighty God. And again, these pagans prove to be more righteous than Jonah in verses 13 and 14. "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, 'O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.'" So even after Jonah tells these mariners what must be done, they try their best to preserve his life. Only when they cannot save themselves do they cry out to God to save them from shedding innocent blood. Now remember, there's this common grace covenant that God made with Noah and all of creation back in Genesis 8 and 9. Even these pagans have some semblance of what we read in Genesis 9, 6. "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image." While they may not know all the particulars, each one of us has ingrained in us the value of human life, though tainted by sin it may be. These guys know it, and in their hour of desperation, they turn in supplication to Almighty God. They turn to the very God that Jonah should have turned to ask for help. And after every option is exhausted, they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. So as Calvin says, the sailors and passengers were not only touched with the fear of God, but that they also had the impression that the God of Israel was the supreme king of heaven and earth, that he held all things under his hand in government. This fear no doubt led them to true knowledge, so as to know that they were previously deluded, and that whatever the world had invented was mere delusion, and that the gods devised by the fancies of men were nothing but mere idols. These men knew that the false gods they had served previously were just that, false gods. Now, only when they discovered God's prophet, learned of the one true God, and did what his prophet commanded, did the storm subside. And we see this when we look at verse 16. "Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows." So not only are the Ninevites going to hear of God's salvation by Jonah's being thrown into the water, but so are these sailors. It's as if God used Jonah's little tantrum here to save even more outsiders. And after being saved, these guys offer a sacrifice to the Lord and take vows. God uses even the foolish disobedience of his prophet for the good of his people. So, what does our passage have to do with us here this morning? Brothers and sisters, we, just like the sailors in this passage, are in need of a sacrifice. One that will save us from the storm of our sin and the sin of those around us. We have the benefit of knowing Jesus Christ, our Lord, the promised seed of Sarah that was born of the line of Abraham, who also commanded the wind and the waves, because He is God. And we know that He died in our place on the cross that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus is everything that Jonah and Israel were supposed to be. He did what the Father commanded Him to do. We know that though our Lord and Savior pleaded with God the Father at Gethsemane, He still drank the cup of wrath down to the dregs. We know that while He sweat drops of blood, He still said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And in so doing, He brought salvation not only to believing Jews, but also to believing Gentiles. And just as Jonah became a saving sacrifice for those mariners on that day as he hit the water, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ became our saving sacrifice that day at Calvary. He died in our place on the cross, ensuring that our salvation was not contingent upon anything you or I could ever do. It's not upon our own obedience. We also can see how comforting it is to know that our Heavenly Father is so good and powerful and just and loving that He can even use our mistakes for the good of His people. While our God permits these things to happen, He's not the author of our sin, but even in permitting these things to happen, He can still use our faults and sins for His good purposes. Now, this shouldn't give us license to do whatever we want whenever we want to do it, but it's freeing to know that we are so loved that our salvation is no longer contingent upon how we perform. If it was, we'd all be lost. We just can't do it. We have a sin problem. It is because we are saved and are given a new heart in Jesus Christ, because we have been given the Holy Spirit after Jesus Christ's ascension, that we can once again do good works unto God that are in accordance with His revealed will and out of a genuine love for Him. It's how we can grow more and more in our assurance of salvation. Christ tells us that we will know His people because they love Him because they keep His commandments. But the reason they keep His commandments is because they have been born again of the Spirit of our resurrected Lord and Savior. So what is it that you feel the Lord is leading you to do for His glory and His kingdom? Is He calling you to have that difficult gospel conversation with that particular loved one, or that friend, or that co-worker? Is He perhaps calling you to serve in the ministry in some capacity? Or is He calling you to be faithful in one area of your life and trust Him this morning? Because Jesus did not run from His calling, we can have hope and compassion in ours. He has paid our debt and is changing our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we are free to reach others with the good news of the gospel. We are free from having to earn our salvation. I pray that the Lord would give you both the grace and the power by the Holy Spirit to serve Him in whatever it is that He is calling you to do. And know what it is to abide in Him and His promises, rather than foolishly running away from God and His plan. As we see in our passage this morning, it's futile and foolish to run. Let us all put our faith in this Jesus Christ, and may we all serve Him in lives of gratitude. May God grant it. Amen. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we praise You as our great Creator, that You created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them by the word of Your power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. We also praise You that Your mercies are new each and every day. Please forgive us for all the ways that we have failed You, for all the ways that we have failed to do what we ought. And thank You that our salvation is based solely on the merits of Jesus Christ, Your only begotten Son, our Lord. Help us to live lives of gratitude and service to You in the days to come. Please guide us by Your Spirit to Your glory alone. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. With that,